When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. It's Sunday, the 13th of June. You're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Yes, hello. We wanted to say, first of all, we really hope you're doing okay. Whether or not you saw firsthand what happened on the pitch in Denmark yesterday afternoon, I'm sure you'll know by now what happened in the game between Denmark and Finland. Christian Eriksen collapsed about 4 minutes before halftime. He had to be resuscitated. He was given CPR on the pitch. The game was halted, and then about an hour and a half later, everyone came back out and played on, Finland ultimately winning that 1-0. Now, we're recording this about 10:30 UK time, and we've just a few moments ago heard this statement from the Danish FA. This is what they've had to say. We wanted to read it out to you in full. This morning, we have spoken to Christian Eriksen, who has sent his greetings to his teammates. His condition is stable and he continues to be hospitalised for further examination. The team and staff of the national team has received crisis assistance and will continue to be there for each other after yesterday's incident. We would like to thank everyone for the heartfelt greetings to Christian Eriksen from fans, players, the royal families from both Denmark and England, international associations and clubs. We encourage everyone to send their greetings to the Danish FA, where we will make sure they are all passed on to Christian and his family. So that's what we know so far. How are you guys doing, first of all, having watched all that? And what do you think we should be talking about it today?
It's a very emotive thing to have witnessed, isn't it? It's the sort of thing that you're never ready for when you're in the headspace for being an international tournament. And the shock of it is something I think that will stay with anybody watching that game for a while. There's a lot of the stuff that we saw that, you know, we perhaps have never seen before in a setting where a situation is as serious and as immediately serious as that. And I don't know about you, it takes quite a lot to rattle me, actually, but it really did. And even thinking about it is a tough thing. And obviously, you just have to send goodwill and support to Christian Eriksen and his family and everybody in Denmark. And also, it is an absolute marvel what that medical team managed to achieve.
Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely incredible. We all saw ourselves how serious that is. It's very rare that you see firsthand how imminent the danger is in a situation where somebody collapses like that, where you don't know what's actually happened and what's happened inside a person's body needs to be assessed and dealt with in seconds. And that image of the Danish players shielding him to let the medical team do what they needed to do, give him the privacy, the looks on their faces, it's something you never want to see, and something that you're not really prepared for the humanity of, almost, you know. So it's a really, really shocking thing. And obviously just so pleased that Christian Eriksen has been reported to be stable at the moment, and hopefully, you know, that continues and he continues to recover. But yeah, it's a really, really shocking moment that takes you out of the kind of festival carnival feel of a tournament, and is a real reminder, particularly, you know, as we are deep into the second year of a pandemic, of how precious life is and how tenuous it can be sometimes as well.
Exactly. I mean, I felt hollow at the time and hollow afterwards, and I still feel a bit hollow now, really. Yeah. Both in terms of the football and the tournament. To follow on from what Jim was saying, as well as praising the medical staff who did an incredible job, the dignity and brotherhood with which the Danish team dealt with it was fantastic. And, you know, I know it's the cliche about football being the least important of the most important of the least important things in the world. And I think it's true at a moment like this, and showing what's good about international football, really, that brotherhood, that kinship. I think that's super important, because sometimes when you're trying to explain why international football matters, it's not about it being the pinnacle of sport anymore. I don't think it is, in terms of actual sporting excellence. But of course, sport means so much more than what happens on the field or on the court or in the arena or whatever. It's about how it makes everyone feel. And to see the shared feeling between those players, between the fans there, who I thought were extraordinary as well. And really, I think that's what international football's about. It's about representing your country and yourself with dignity and humanity. And I feel that's what Denmark and Finland's players did yesterday.
Yeah, there were some amazingly beautiful moments within all of that. But I don't know about you too. You know, I was just sitting at home, watched, you know, had the game on, got my notes out. Mm. Just having an ice cream. And you're just living in your day to day. And then suddenly something like this, you don't know how to react to it.
No.
And I think that's, in a way, one of the wonderful things that we've seen over the last, how many hours it is now, 15, is the way that people have actually tried to articulate how it made them feel and how important this was, and how kind of shocking, and the delayed trauma of course, you know, we don't know, we should say, we don't know at this point. You know, we know that Christian Eriksen is stable. We don't know much more than that. You know, we see from that statement that
we continue to hope for him.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the point. So yeah, it's not a case of saying, you know, everything is fine, and let's look back on this strange incident. So it's all still part of that ongoing trauma. And you're right to reference these players who were, Simon Kjær in particular, has been called out, I think, for the reactions that he took, you know, getting him into recovery position, things like that. There's also been a lot of talk about, you know, I guess almost like productive things like defibrillators, like how important they are, how they've got to be everywhere that sport is being played, everywhere they can be. Let's get them there, because, you know, the important thing is his health. But the important thing also, I think, is to be able to talk and to be able to say, like, this is not something, you're just sitting down for an afternoon's entertainment. This is not something that anybody expects to see.
No.
And it has a manifest impact. And it's okay, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is if you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know, obviously I'm a Spurs fan, so I've watched him play football a hell of a lot of times. I've met him a few times. I don't know him, you know. Mm. And so you think, why am I sitting here crying in front of the TV about this guy? And the reason
it's because it could be any one of us. And the players know it could be any one of them. And this is just life. And as Jim says, this is really what the past 15, 16, 17 months have brought home to us all, how fragile it all is. And for me, this what is the bottom of the list of important stuff is how TV dealt with it, is how, you know, should the players have played afterwards? To me, that's not massively important. The massively important thing, the only important thing, is that he continues to get better and that he's okay, that his family continue to be looked after and they're okay. And I think you look at the Denmark squad as well, sometimes it just feels, and I felt this even more really in the last, since the pandemic, it feels that the football is still really struggling to find space to process stuff. We've not been very good about that. And I understand that it's an industry and it's comfort to a lot of people as well. You know, it's been comfort to people who've been stuck inside to be able to watch football at home. And, you know, maybe it was comfort to those Denmark players to have some semblance of normality, because when you experience a traumatic event, or fortunately not in this case, a loss or something like that, there's always that bit where you step outside afterwards and you're like, how is it that the buses are still running? How is it that people are still walking to work? How is it that the wind is still blowing the trees? Why do these things carry on as if nothing happens? But this is life, and you have to find the best possible way to deal with it. If in the very, very short term, it was the kinship of them playing football together and the result doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter.
No.
Then that is fine. And it's not for us to say what Denmark should or shouldn't have done. What is super important now is that football gets better at dealing with the aftermath of something like this. Because those players, as you say, Kate, they need to talk. They need to be looked after. We need to understand that this hasn't finished now and the world moves on. Because I think you look at something like the Borussia Dortmund bus attack. The fact that they played the next day, whether they played the next day or the next week, who knows when they would have been ready. The fact was that the club acknowledged in retrospect that they didn't really deal with it. They have to deal with it. We have to help them deal with it.
Mm. It's good that the Danish squad are receiving crisis assistance. That's a real positive step. And also, perhaps, you know, if this sort of thing is to be dealt with better, this will be the example that's used from now on. It's such a high profile thing, more so than anything like that, that perhaps what will come out of it will be that this conversation will be had higher up and it will be had more loudly, and it will be had in more detail and in more depth, and hopefully football will be able to change for the better in acknowledging that unfortunately these high profile tragedies do happen and there needs to be something in place.
But that's what we've seen from the game in every sort of major issue, that actually the change doesn't come from the top. I think it comes from the players.
Yes.
And the symbol of them defending their mate, looking after their mate, it could not be any more powerful.
No.
And we've seen footballers' ability to connect with the world, to make that change. And a little gesture, it is actually everything. It really is.
I would expand that out as well, Andy. You're talking about all the people involved directly. I think it's important that we recognise that, even though it might seem strange, if you're listening and you've had a reaction to this, you know, there's obviously been debate about how the pictures were used. We're not here to discuss that at this stage. As you say, you know, the significant point is the players and that everyone is helped, but that everyone watching, you know, you may have seen, well, you will have seen something incredibly traumatic happen there, and it will have caused you perhaps to reflect on your own life, but also it'll have, I don't know about, you know, you said it yourself really, Jim, it was hard to really settle to anything after that. It was hard to feel like you could just carry on with your day, and in a way that's right, but it's also something that it's okay to feel, and you don't have to feel like, oh, that's happened, it's not actually anything to do with me, I'm going to just snap out of this. The fact is that you were, astonishingly enough, it's in Copenhagen, you're sitting listening to this wherever you are, you've been a part of this, and and you should look after yourself as well, and just spend a bit of time thinking about it if you can, because Christian Eriksen, yeah, I'll never forget the sight of him going to the ground like that.
Yeah,
anywhere near him, and someone we haven't actually called out is Anthony Taylor, the referee, who acted so fast. And
yes, he did. He was brilliant,
and perhaps made a real difference.
Yeah, and also as well the resilience of the fans in the stadium as well. The chanting between the Finnish fans and the Danish fans when the game finally did kick off again was a really heartening thing. We were talking about this earlier, and I was wondering, you know, if you're one of the Denmark players, that might be something that is very difficult to take, to think about, if you're hearing that in the context of it. But you said, Andy, it's going to be right. It's going to be okay for some people and encouraging for some people and upsetting for other people. And that's just got to be okay.
There's no right thing, exactly. You've just got to be human and do your best.
You can't undo the tragedy. So it's a very difficult thing to process. And I think, as you've touched on, Kate, if you don't know how to process it, you don't know how to feel about it, and you feel like you're almost getting feeling about it wrong in some way, then that's not the case.
No, it's okay. However you are, is okay. That's the message here today. We've heard from the Danish FA. We've brought you the latest that we have on this. And we've heard, you know, why the team went out and played later on. Finland applauded the Danish players out onto the pitch. It was, of course, their first match at a major tournament. You know, it all seems kind of irrelevant now, but it has been kind of lovely to see online and in various other places some of the things that the Finnish fans have been saying, and the comfort that they've been offering to each other, I think. We're going to take a break now, but just leave you with the Danish national newspaper, which led with the headline, "Denmark lost, but life won."
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Jim and Brass with you today. It is Sunday, but it's all happening because it's the Euros. It's the Euro Ramble. That's how it has to keep going. We just keep going day after day after day. And you keep listening and that's the plan.
They keep playing, exactly, we keep speaking.
Yeah. And we are going to talk about some of the football that we watched yesterday as well. Now, a bit of a dig into the Wales game.
Yeah.
Wales 1, Switzerland 1. I thought actually pretty decent performance from Wales in the end, and lots of chances. Like I'm the one that really stuck with me through all of this subsequent confusion and nightmare was Aaron Ramsey's free kick about an hour in, I think it was. It was an absolutely scandalous yellow given to Kevin Mbabu for this really great tackle on the edge of the box. And then Aaron Ramsey absolutely stuck it. Beautiful free kick, like perfect, back post. No one there. I was like, Wales, this is not happening for you.
But then Kiefer Moore.
But then.
Comes out of
arise.
The fog.
Yeah.
I mean, he had two incredible moments. That save in the first half that Jan Sommer made from him was absolutely magnificent. I mean, Luke pointed out on Friday, what an underrated keeper.
I feel
you've
given him enough credit for this. He credited him on Twitter. He's crediting him now. He credited him in the WhatsApp group.
Not everyone has Twitter. it was an amazing save, an amazing run for the goal. The Wales have got to be happy with the point here.
Yeah.
I mean, Switzerland will be asking themselves how they didn't win that game.
Yeah, and Bolo looks busy. Do you know what I mean? He's got that kind of live wire.
Not in the Gary Neville sense.
No. He had a very, very good game, and I kind of feared for Wales when Switzerland went one up. But I would not be surprised if Kiefer Moore if somewhere in Wales there is a mild-mannered journalist with black rimmed glasses on that looks suspiciously like him, because there are big Superman vibes from Kiefer Moore for me.
I like the fact that, well, because he was wearing this pink bandana, wasn't
yes.
he?
Bandage.
Right, okay. But yeah, well, what's he using?
Axl Rose.
He's got like a cut on his nose or somewhere thereabouts. I don't know what the bandana. Anyway, I'm saying it's a target.
I think
it's a good target.
I think if you equalise for your country in the Euros, you are Axl Rose. Let him wear it if he wants in the next game.
No, but you're right. I mean, I think we've got to make a difference between bandaged and head-banded players.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're not
good
talking
point.
About, if we're going really retro, we're not talking about like Steve Foster or Eric Young. You know, that sense that they must be really good at heading the ball because they've got a headband. but yeah, it should have been a red flag to Switzerland, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But maybe it confused them, like, you know, like sending up a goalkeeper. Maybe it was just like a block of colour and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Didn't know how to defend it.
Brilliant header, though.
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah, it was
brilliant
wicked.
Bullet header. And this is one of the things about the Euros, isn't it? I mean, you know, he's had a very good season for Cardiff City, but with respect to Cardiff City, they're not the profile of club where you have someone making a difference at the Euros. And I love you get these players emerge where
they
thrive.
That didn't seem very respectful to Cardiff City,
didn't,
actually,
did it?
To be honest.
Or to a 2014 Euros.
Right in.
Yeah, well, fine. All right. I won't always give everyone the amount of respect they deserve. Fine, it's on me.
Show at footballramble.com. at Jim Campbell TFR.
That's right, yeah. Sorry, Cardiff fans. It's an unusual makeup, isn't it, of the Welsh team? Because you've got the players like Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale, who are, you know, very, very slick, very, very tidy players. And then you have what is effectively the most traditional type of target man you could have in Kiefer Moore. And it doesn't... I wonder if that quite weird blend will actually be a problem at some point, because you maybe to play to one strength, you perhaps don't get the best out of another.
Yeah, I think Wales are in an interesting position because they have a couple of very experienced players, of course, a lot of very inexperienced players, and they seem to be heavily reliant on a couple of tenets, and one of those is Moore, the other is the pace of Dan James.
Yes,
but I don't know. I mean, I saw them criticised in a couple of different newspapers, non-British newspapers, for being a bit timid. But I don't really know what else they could have done when you look at them matched up to Switzerland.
Well, Rob Page said that he was happy for them to put their tin hats on, which is a comment that I've completely misunderstood, because it sounds like it's about defending hard. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I thought it was about conspiracies.
You did, yeah.
No, it means
there's a missing word there.
Yes, he means
that
in
word
the trenches,
is foil,
isn't he? Like the hat you would wear in a trench, whereas rather than like the tinfoil hat, you would.
So you're
stop
digging
to...
into a trench, and you're just going to stay there,
yeah.
And you're going to get shot at.
Exactly. That's what you're
that
talking
sounds
about.
Like a terrible strategy.
It doesn't sound fun, does it? But I mean, they're talking about digging in. I think actually, understandably, this wasn't the story from yesterday, but Switzerland are in the top 10 rankings in the world. Mm. This is a brilliant point for Wales. And they've given themselves a really good platform here, given how Turkey we don't really know how Turkey are going to respond to the effect, the lesson they got off of Italy.
I'm trying to remember, was it Brass who was bigging them up big time?
Moderately so, yeah. I mean, they've got a really good team. And
yeah, you're not alone in that, are you?
You completely persuaded me. I think I've dark horsed them myself, and now I feel like a twat.
From dark horse to Shetland pony.
Oh, I think, so sweet, though.
Yeah, Shetland ponies don't win anything, though, do they? Yeah. I think...
They do. They win, like... They win loads of stuff. They win loads of, like, country fair stuff.
Football matches.
Prettiest hair.
They win prettiest hair at the country fair. God, you are from a different world, aren't you?
Barak Yilmaz, the winner of prettiest hair.
They're not going to win any wall of meat stuff, but yeah.
No, I think it's interesting Decoy? Because Turkey have gone from dark horses to the worst team in the tournament. In yes.
Oh,
commas.
Yeah, but it's just because everyone didn't know about Italy.
In the space of about 12 hours. Yeah, possibly. But I think the assumption that Wales are going to go on, beat Turkey, and it's all going to be fine is a massive assumption. It's going to be, like, you could argue, an even tougher game than the Switzerland game for them. And, of course, you have to bear in mind the fact that it was a weird match because we've enjoyed some really magnificent atmospheres already in this competition. One of those was not in Baku.
Oh.
However, yes. You'll have a lot of Turkish fans in Baku. And I'd be interested to see what sort of influence that has on it.
So, yeah, that's their next match on Wednesday. We've mentioned already about how it's a bit more of a hassle for Wales, you know, running around playing in Baku and such places. And it was also bloody hot. Hotter than here? I feel like it's the hottest it's ever been at the moment, but that could just be the studio.
It looked like a sort of South American World Cup almost, didn't it, in terms of the heat. So that
rising.
Bright haze that you get. Like, yeah, it looked difficult conditions.
We're yet to get, of course, to Spain playing their home games, not in Bilbao, but Sevilla, where on Thursday night, it was 39 degrees at 9 p.m. at night.
Whoa.
Astonishing.
And they've got
I'm
to play,
impressed.
Spain have to play all their games in Sevilla. 2 9 p.m.s and 1 6 p.m.
Jesus.
I mean, yeah. Well,
it's a really interesting balance, this, isn't it? The various home advantages, and I suppose in that case, Spain have a home disadvantage
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
it's yeah. Really
I mean, someone at some point will say, "Oh, well, their players will be used to it."
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, this classic thing.
Yeah, Mikel Oyarzabal, he'll be really used to it.
Yeah, like Spain is a desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll just accident, you know, some balls might get loose, but it'll be fine because they're just used to it. They're players. Constantly just running from them. Belgium won 3-0 against Russia. Just heard that Timothy Castagne won't play in the rest of the Euros. Bit of a blow for Roberto Martinez. But the story here is Romelu Lukaku, pretty decent performance generally, massively extraordinary performance in the context of one of his mates' moments earlier. Yeah. Having suffered that, because he plays obviously with Christian Eriksen.
And a beautiful moment with him down the camera, dedicating his goal to him live. Or not even really dedicating his goal to him, just like wishing
sending
him well.
Sending him love.
Sending him love, yeah. Absolutely. It was beautiful. And I mean, Belgium just looked imperious, didn't they? It was a bit of a different performance to Italy's, which is obviously the only one we compare it to at the moment in terms of how dominant it was. I felt with Italy, Turkey did put up resistance and Italy really successfully sort of dismantled that wall of meat. But with Belgium, you don't get the sense that they were really tested. Italy were tested and they overcame the test easily. With Belgium, it was they didn't really need to get into second gear almost.
They were more clinical as well, I think. But when you bear in mind that any team, you take De Bruyne and Eden Hazard out of it and you think they're lost.
Yeah.
And this was, in that context, such an impressive performance. But we said, didn't we, before the start of the tournament, and I said it in the OTC previews, that because of the fitness question over De Bruyne, and there's still a fitness question over Eden Hazard, it came on for 20 minutes and showed a few very Hazard touches, which were very aesthetically pleasing. Mm. So much of it was going to be resting on Lukaku. But he's fine with that.
Yeah,
He's absolutely fine with that, and he's absolutely ready for that. You're right, it seemed like third gear Lukaku.
Yeah.
Definitely not fifth. And yet still, he's so incredibly dominant. And everything they did was built around him.
He didn't really see much of the ball in the second half because I don't think Belgium really needed him to. It was kind of more about containment and he still got a goal.
Yeah, I mean, there was that little bit, probably the first 15 minutes of the second half where Russia put a bit of pressure on them.
Yeah.
But still, Thibaut Courtois was never really... under Siege. Youri Tielemans was really good. Again, really, really good. And, you know, again, he's one of those players that we see him every week in the Premier League, but you can forget how good he is,
yeah,
and how important he's going to be for Belgium in this tournament. I mean, if people were sleeping on them as one of the potential favourites, well, they shouldn't be now. Yeah.
The way they cycle the ball actually reminds me a little bit of Spain in their dominant period, which is obviously ominous. I just really, really enjoyable performance from Belgium. And also, I did enjoy that 15 minutes at the start of the second half where Russia came back into it a bit, because it was a bit of a throwback to the World Cup, which goes back to what we were saying yesterday with the sort of heritage of all the tournaments that have come before, yeah, all being present at this kind of multinational Euros. And I'm enjoying that aspect of it a lot.
Yeah, Denis Cherchesev came on in the 29th minute and got hooked in the 63rd.
Which somewhat undermines my point.
Yeah, but maybe that was the big moment for him. He was impressing you anyway. You wouldn't have perhaps hooked him. He got 9 touches. He might have crammed 9 touches into that. Is Russia's manager Stanislav Cherchesov officially the hardest bloke at the tournament? I asked myself. He was reprimanded. The referee went over to reprimand him at one point, and then ended up they just had a little chat and shook his hand. I don't know if he was trying to soothe him or if he was just, they'd got some sort of gentleman's agreement.
Just frightened by his presence.
Absolutely terrified. Possibly. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, he is a unit.
He has got a presence. Yeah, that's former goalkeepers for you, really, isn't it?
Mm.
Always bigger than you're ready for.
It's like if you face Peter Schmeichel on a touchline, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
If you face him on a touchline.
Well, if he was a coach.
Do you think he'd be intimidating now?
Peter Schmeichel?
Yeah, he's got aura.
Have you seen, as a pundit though, he's quite sort of...
Yeah, but there's a difference between like being a pundit and being on a touchline.
Yeah, in a confrontation with someone.
It's like Roy Keane, he's like an entertainer now, isn't he?
He's not
a sort of terrifying man.
Yeah.
You not think?
I feel he's both.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you've laid your whole Roy Keane fears. He is quite funny.
You're casting me out on my own there. Look, Roy, if you've got any issues.
If you're so chilled, then Andy Brassel will chat to you and cover any of the problems that you may feel as though.
Let's have a green tea.
Well, the secret seems to be like in that Micah Richards thing where they go and drive around in the car. The secret seems to be just to laugh and
just
clap your hands.
Be intimidated.
Just laugh and be bigger. I can't really offer that. Guys, those were the games. Good job, everybody, on talking about them and everything that we've discussed today. There are some games coming up today as well.
Where are we watching the game?
Got any plans?
It's quite close to our hearts, and specifically my heart, because I'm going to get out of here and leave you suckers, and I'm going to Wembley.
So excited, UK.
Oh, I'm so excited. England, Croatia, yeah, kicking off at 2:00. I don't know. We're just going straight there. There's a whole setup with COVID tickets and the like, and you've got to turn up at... various different times to go in. Oh, I don't know, admin. But anyway.
What time are the Sea Otters turning up?
Well, the Sea Otters don't need to come because they've already made their predictions.
Right.
So they say the Sea Otters of Birmingham, I don't know if it's all Sea Otters of Birmingham or just these specific psychic Sea Otters.
Yeah, it's a funny one that, isn't it? Like, you can't really claim something psychic when it's predicting something. Surely you should wait until the thing has happened before you at least go, that animal might be psychic.
Maybe they predicted England would beat Croatia in, I don't know, October 2018.
Yeah, or the next 100 years.
They haven't offered a scoreline, as far as I can tell, unless you guys have seen a scoreline.
Or ottered a scoreline.
Jim's got it in for sea otters and all these other things, including owls, because sea otters, I thought, are lovely and they like mate for life and they hold each other's hands in the sea to stop themselves drifting apart. And Jim's like, they're fuckwits.
They just... I was going to say Google it. Don't. Just don't Google it. Just live in ignorance of what otters are like.
What otters are capable of.
Yeah. It's this psychic animal thing. I know it's been touched on before. It's amazing. It's like... The octopus thing I sort of get, right? Because I learned an amazing thing recently, which is that octopuses and you know, cephalopods, whatever it is.
Beautiful.
Their consciousness evolved entirely separately from human beings. No common ancestor at all, which is amazing. Like, consciousness has evolved twice on this planet separately. So that makes me think, well, maybe they could be psychic. How do we know? Mm. We got nothing in common with how their minds work.
We'll find out at 4 o'clock today, won't we?
Exactly. Yeah. Otters, though, not having it.
Do you think they're psychic or not?
Well, we're going to find out, is what I'm saying.
Well, Brassel thinks, by the way, everybody, sorry, I know if you're listening to this during the game or after the game, you might already know, but Brassel thinks that England are going to win, not the Euros yet, but going to beat Croatia.
I think England are going to beat Croatia comfortably.
Yeah. I think you might be doing your next show from under the bus that Kate has just thrown
please
you under.
Please don't use. Yeah, I was reading the When Saturday Comes preview, and there's a section on the best worst interviewees, guys. And Ozan Tufan was picked out for Turkey as being the worst because he's often overtaken by him. This is what they wrote. He's overtaken by his emotions and either is left speechless or repeats the same phrase over and over again. And I think he's probably my model for football supporting generally and specifically, going to Wembley. I have to say I'm a bit nervous about the booing situation beforehand, which is slightly tempering my sense of how brilliant I hope it's going
to
be.
I have to say, credit where it's due, the FA put out a statement yesterday making it very, very clear what their stance is.
And it's explicit, how,
yeah,
isn't it?
And undermining the arguments, the kind of dog whistle, snide arguments people make about how actually the reason they're booing isn't because of racism, blah, blah, blah. The FA made it very, very clear that that is not why they kneel. So I think credit to them on that.
And also,
hopefully that message will have got through.
It's not about even being fully on board.
No,
just respect the opinions and feelings of others.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Look, guys, if you're listening and you're coming to the game, I don't know, do we clap? I just can't believe that it's not going to be the same situation as it has been, no matter what is said. So, we'll see.
We'll see.
Come on, England. Either way, Brass says you're going to win. There's also later on today, it's Austria, North Macedonia. Come on, North Macedonia, I think. And Netherlands, Ukraine. So, get stuck into those ones. Thank you for being here today, Jim. Nice to see you.
You too.
Nice to see you, Andy Brass.
Likewise.
Enjoy your trip. And thank you guys for being here with us. Hope you're doing okay. Come back tomorrow. Marcus, Jim and Pete will be looking back on the England game and all of the rest of those. See you next time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.